All right, once again, great blessing to be here. We're so thankful for this opportunity to gather together as God's people before Him in His name. Any visitors among us? I don't see any, but if I'm missing you, we're grateful that you're here, and I pray that you are encouraged and know that you are an encouragement to us. Now, just a couple things here real quick before our lesson. I do have a Lads to Leader PowerPoint next Sunday, but I went ahead and gave him the outline for the next lesson in our Life and Death series. So we'll do a Lads to Leaders PowerPoint, so we're going to be able to continue with our series for a little bit. Now, it kind of depends on the next three after that, because Lads to Leaders is the week of April 20th, so we do have to fit in three of those. And I went ahead and made those outlines for the kids, those lessons from the book of Revelation, to kind of go along with what we're looking at in our Wednesday study. So that is coming. Also, don't forget this Saturday, our congregational prayer breakfast. Please put your name out there if you would, so they can get a head count on that. And for some of the men, if you're willing, let me know. I got a spot or two here left for some scripture reading and prayer. So if you haven't put your name on there and you are going to come, do that, and then let me know so I can put you down on here. You know, there's certain things. Dennis, I don't know if you, I don't necessarily need it, but that monitor there is not on. Not the end of the world if it's not on. It is helpful. But I want us to think here for a moment. You know, there's certain things that we, in our lives, that we look forward to with fear and trepidation, right? There's things that we know are coming, but we dread. So maybe we ignore it. Maybe we try to push it out of our mind, not think about it. You know, maybe it's the day that we know that, you know, our child's going to be leaving the house, right, with a little bit of fear and trepidation there. Maybe it's, you know, that when they're going to go off to college or maybe move far away. Maybe it's when that child's about to get married, right? We kind of maybe face that with a little fear and trepidation. Or maybe it's the passing of a loved one. Maybe it's the thought of our own death. You know, what will the circumstances of my death be? Right? And so there's certain things we look at with fear and trepidation. And then there are certain events in our lives that we look forward to with joy and anticipation. Maybe it's when the kid moves out of the house, right? Maybe it's when they go off to college. You know, maybe it's when they get married, hopefully. You know, maybe it's when a loved one dies, right? They have so much pain, and they're a child of God, and you know where they're going, so you look forward to that with joy and anticipation. Hopefully, we look forward to the time of our death with joy and anticipation. And so there's certain things that, you know, we look to in the future with fear and trepidation, and other things, joy and anticipation. So how do we as Christians view the certainty of Judgment Day? With fear and trepidation, or with joy and anticipation? All right, so your answer in your mind right now is going to help you, right? Do you fear that day? And so let's talk about that this evening. You know, this event that's absolutely coming, right? Jesus proclaimed it. The apostles proclaimed it. This day is absolutely coming, without a doubt. So how do you view that event? Right, are you afraid of that? Or do you say, well, I just can't wait for that day to see my Lord face to face. I can't wait. And I think that's going to color how you see everything concerning your faith. Right, how you view that day, you know, either the day of your death or the return of Jesus, but in the end, ultimately, the day of judgment. So let's think about that in this series here. We're going to have three main points. And the more I thought about it, I was kind of I wish I'd have done this a little different order. We're going to talk about the resurrection next week. And even after that, I might talk more about the second coming. And I was kind of wishing maybe I should have done those first, and then this lesson on the judgment after those. But, it is what it is. We're talking about the judgment tonight. And so let's think about that. You know, Paul, real quick here, had a thought. At Mars Hill in Athens in Acts chapter 17, you remember Paul concluded his lesson with, right, concerning the judgment day, right? God has appointed a day on which he will judge the world in righteousness. You know, while in one sense, you know, people are judged in this present life by the response they make to Jesus. You know, John 3 and verse 18, those who believe not condemned, those who do not believe will be condemned, right? So the Bible clearly speaks of this day in which God will judge the world, and the Bible calls it many things, but ultimately it is referring to the day of judgment, the judgment day. And so let's take time here this evening and look at that. I want to talk about the necessity of judgment, the time of judgment, and the circumstances of judgment. Those will be our three main points. So let's talk about number one here. And there's a lot. I'm throwing a lot of Bible passages at you. We can't read them all. You know, this is one of those topical lessons where the Bible has a lot to say about it. So let's think about here, number one, if you go back to Luke 16, the necessity of judgment. And so that's a big question. Why have a judgment? Why is it? And so from the story here of the rich man Lazarus, it's apparent one's destiny is sealed the moment they die. Right? It's determined at the time of one's death. Verse 22, so it was, a beggar died, was carried by the angels to Abraham's bosom. Now last week we talked about that. That's paradise. And the rich man also died and was buried, being in torments in Hades, right? That's the other side of the Hadean realm. Before the ascension of Jesus, he had paradise and torment. I believe Scripture now teaches us after Jesus ascended, paradise is now in the heavenly realm. But that was last week, right? So he lifted his eyes and saw Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. Right, so if the destiny of each person is determined at the time of his or her death, you know, why the need for a day of judgment at the end of time? I think that's a good question. I think we got a lot of good questions here in this study this evening. And so let's answer that. Why is there a need for judgment? Well, first, the purpose of the final judgment. Now, bear in mind, there's a difference between a human trial and a divine trial. Right? Now, a human trial that we're used to, right? You go to the courthouse, then there's a trial, right? That is to determine truth. Right? You're looking for evidence. You're trying to determine truth. That is not a divine trial. Right? The one who's going to sit to judge that trial is omniscient, all-powerful, ever-present. He doesn't need to know any of the facts here. He knows them all. Right? He has perfect knowledge. So, you know, human trial, process of investigation, divine trial, right? Perfect knowledge. So what's the purpose? Well, one of them is, you know, punishment and execution, right? Execution of the sentence. In 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 10, we're reminded that there's a day, right? There's a day when we're all going to be before the judgment seat of Christ, right? We all must appear before the judgment seat of Christ, and that each one may receive the things done in the body according to what he's done, whether good or bad. And also, of course, another purpose is to glorify God for his grace and to vindicate God for his perfect justice. And now here's another question that many people ask. Again, it's not a bad question. Not a bad question at all. Many have asked, you know, this question actually has made a lot of people stumble in their faith or never come to the Lord to begin with. Right? You know, and it's that, you know, how can God be just in condemning persons, you know, that never heard of the gospel? Right? Those, you know, maybe, for example, those in North Korea, right? Well, at the judgment, those currently ignorant, go to Romans chapter 1. At the judgment, those currently ignorant of the answers to such questions, they're going to be made aware and come to see that God has been both just and gracious in his efforts throughout the history of mankind. So in Romans chapter 1, beginning in verse 18, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness, because what may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has shown it to them. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Now those condemned, they're going to come to fully realize that they can't blame anybody but themselves, that they did not seek God. And so here's what I believe. God knows everything from the beginning to the end, right? He's the Alpha and the Omega. Right, we see things in a linear sense, but he sees it all, right? And he knows the hearts of all men. He knows those who seek the truth, right? And if you got a truth seeker, God, through his providential care, is going to intervene in the affairs of man to make sure that opportunity is presented to that truth seeker. And also understand that there's things of God that we just don't understand. Right? We just have to go on the information that he's given us, right? He's given us what we need, not everything we want to know. Right? He's given us everything pertaining to life and godliness. 2 Peter 1 and verse 3. Right? And we have the gospel which tells us these things. Romans chapter 1, verses 1 through 4. Right? So we need to obey it. Verse 5. Right? The purpose of the gospel is to bring about faith through obedience. And then, of course, we share that information with as many souls as possible, verses 14 through 17. Paul said, I'm a debtor, I'm obligated. Wow, God allowed me to be saved, so I'm obligated to get that gospel out there. I'm not ashamed of it, for in it is the power of God unto salvation. Right? So that puts a weight on you and I as God's people to get that message out there so God could use us. And then also I would throw in there, can we not stipulate that God knows what he's doing? All-powerful, all-knowing, ever-present. We need to stipulate that we're not smarter than God and God knows what he's doing. And we humbly accept that. And so judgment day, it's going to be a time where everything's going to be made known. Romans 2 and verse 2. And then sentences executed with God's righteous judgment, Romans 2 and verse 3. God knows what he's doing, and that has to be enough for us. And what we do know is that the gospel that we have saves. Right? So we learn it, we understand it, we obey it, and try to share it with as many people as possible. All right, number two. This evening, let's talk about the time of judgment. And this will be, there'll be a little overlap in this when we talk about the second coming of Christ and the resurrection. You know, some, as we've been talking about in our Revelation class, some people believe that there's going to be separate and different judgments and or resurrections. And, you know, those that we talked about, dispensational millennialists, they believe that there's going to be a series of judgments and series of resurrections, like, for instance, the rapture, right? And of course, that we learned is mainly a misunderstanding of Matthew 25, verses 40 to 42, right? Two men will be in the field, one will be taken, and one will be left. Two women grinding at the mill, one will be taken, one will be left. And we talked about how a better understanding of the language there is one will be received and one will be left. Right? And so chapter 24 and 25, Matthew, it's all about preparation to be received. It's not the idea of what some people teach of the rapture. Right? A secret resurrection, a secret day of judgment. And and as we talked in the past, there's folks, you know, think that there's going to be a judgment for the believers at the rapture, a judgment for believers or Gentiles for a millennia, and then for Israel for a millennia, and all of these kind of things, that a misunderstanding of the book of Revelation, right? And then there's going to be a judgment of the wicked dead for 1,000 years. And so that's what a lot of people believe concerning the judgment, that there's going to be several different ones, different flavors, different views. But what does the Bible say? That's what matters. Well, what does God say? Second Peter, if you will. You know, the Bible teaches that there's going to be one bodily resurrection, and that at the last day, right, so there'll be just one day of judgment. And then the final judgment, it's going to occur at the end of the present age, in which heaven and earth will be no more. And so this is what the Bible teaches us. And so if what we're about to read is true, then there's not separate individual days of resurrection and judgment for different groups of people. Right? So if what we're going to read here is true, then that cannot be true. So understand that about the judgment. And we're not going to read the whole chapter here, but four times in this chapter, we see a similar thing. Now understand, when it says this day or this age, this is the end of the Christian dispensation of time, right? The time that we're in right now, right? Ever since Jesus, Acts chapter 1, ascended to the right hand of the Father, right? And the church began in Acts chapter 2. From then to this point until Jesus comes back is this time. And so just read a few verses here. How about verse 7? But the heavens and the earth, which are now preserved by the same word, are reserved for fire until the day of judgment and destruction of ungodly men. Verse 10, but the day of the Lord. Now, we'll talk about that in future lessons and from 1st, 2nd Thessalonians. They called it the great parousia, the second coming of Christ. That's what he's talking about here, right? Kicking off the day of judgment, that whole event. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with a great noise, and the elements will melt in fervent heat. Both the earth and the works that are in it will be burned up. Therefore, since all these things will be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness? Looking forward, now this is how I began the lesson, you know, how do you look forward to this event? Fear and trepidation or joy and anticipation? Right, looking for and hastening the coming of the day of God, because of which the heavens and the earth will be dissolved, being on fire, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Right, and so that's what the Bible says. And if that's true, those other scenarios cannot be true. I believe the Bible answers itself. And so at the end of this age, you know, as Jesus taught in the parable of the tares at Matthew 13, right, the judgment begins. In our scripture reading earlier, at the coming of Jesus, in that day, 2 Thessalonians 1, 7 through 10, Jesus will give rest to his disciples and vengeance on unbelievers. You know, and note that, you know, not just those who, he's going to have vengeance on those that you can know God but not obey the gospel. Right? I think that's a warning for a lot of people there who are very religious, but they haven't obeyed the gospel. Right? So vengeance is coming on those. Our scripture reading was 7 through 9, but let me add in verse 10 to that. When he comes in that day to be glorified in his saints and to be admired among all those who believe, because our testimony among you was believed. There's only going to be one resurrection and one judgment day. That's what the Bible teaches us. All right, number three, our third main point, what are going to be the circumstances of the judgment? And I think to me it's the most important point in all of this. So who's going to be the judge? Well, the New Testament clearly reveals that it's going to be Jesus, right? Jesus will be the judge. In John, the fifth chapter, John chapter 5, let me read a handful of verses here. Verse 22, for the Father judges no one, but has committed all judgment to the Son. And then 26 to 27, same chapter. For as the Father has life in himself, so he has granted the Son to have life in himself, and has given him authority to execute judgment also, because he is the Son of Man. Right? And so Jesus here, as claimed by himself, he's going to be the judge. You know, Paul says that to those folks in Acts chapter 17 on Mars Hill. Right? That God has appointed a day which he will judge the world. And again, what we read earlier in 2 Corinthians 5:10, right? We must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. And then in also in some way not fully revealed, in 1 Corinthians 6, verses 2 and 3, and I find this very interesting, even the saints here, right, Christians, will have a part in the judgment. Remember, God tells us what we need to know, not everything that we want to know. He says, do you not know that the saints will judge the world? Remember what was going on here? The brethren were going to court to sue each other. And he's saying, look, don't do that. You know, you need to take care of that in-house. Do you not know that the saints will judge the world? And if the world will be judged by you, are you unworthy to judge the smallest matters? Do you not know that we shall judge angels? How much more things that pertain in this life? So, not fully revealed. That's a very interesting thought right there. That we as God's people are going to be involved in the day of judgment and judging angels. And that just, you know, to me is very interesting. And maybe that's something I need to study more. But I don't think the Bible really tells us a lot about that. And so who will be judged? Well, angels are going to be judged. That's clear from what we just read. And then 2 Peter 2 and verse 4 and Jude 6. All humans are going to be judged. Back in Romans chapter 2. Let me read verses 4 through 6. Or do you despise the riches of his goodness, forbearance, and longsuffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leads you to repentance, but in accordance with your hardness and your impenitent heart, you are treasuring up for yourselves wrath in the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God. Right? So everyone's going to be judged, even Christians in chapter 14 and verse 10, right, will be judged. And that's a very interesting statement itself. In 1 John 4 and verse 17, it says that the purpose of God's love is to mature us, to prepare us for the day of judgment. So what will be judged is our next question here. Well, again, 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 10, all the deeds that we've done in this life, whether good or bad, all the words that we have spoken in this life, Matthew 12, 36 and 37, right? Be careful what you say, be careful what comes out of your mouth. Even our thoughts, 1 Corinthians 4 and verse 5, will be brought to the light. And there's nothing hidden that will not be known. Hebrews 4 and verse 13. But let me read 1 Timothy 5, 24 and 25. Some men's sins are clearly evident, preceding them to judgment. But those of some men will follow later. Likewise, the good works of some are clearly evident, and those that are otherwise cannot be hidden, right? So there's nothing hidden that will not then be known on the day of judgment. And if you're taking notes, right, how Ecclesiastes finishes, chapter 12, right, everything. It's going to be there for all to see before God, right? So then what will be the standard? What will be the standard whereby men will be judged? You know, Jesus said in John 12, the word that I have spoken will judge him in that last day, John 12, verse 48. Right? He's going to be the judge, right? So it's going to be by his words that we will be judged, right? It'll be the words of the New Testament, the standard of the words of the New Testament, John 17, 17, right? His word is truth. Right? That's the standard. And listen, here's what we need to think about also, is one sin makes us guilty of all. Right, Romans 3 and verse 23, we've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. James 2 and verse 10, right, one sin makes us guilty of all. And so with that being true, I think a good question that probably comes up is, if one sin makes us guilty, you know, what hope do we have for the day of judgment? Then what is our hope? I think this is where we really make good application in this lesson here. What is the hope that we have to survive the judgment? Revelation chapter 20. I want to read to you verses 11 through 15. The only hope one can have is made clear right here in this judgment scene. So Revelation chapter 20, beginning in verse 11. Then I saw a great white throne, and him who sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, standing before God, and books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged according to their works by the things which are written in the books. The sea gave up the dead who were in it, and death and Hades delivered up the dead who were in it, and they were judged each one according to his works. Then death and Hades were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death, and anyone not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Now, verse 14, by the way, a side note, it's another reason why I believe paradise is no longer in the Hadean realm, like we see in Luke chapter 16, because that's getting cast into hell after the day of judgment here. So the hope right here pertains to having your name in the book of life. And in chapter 21 and verse 27, it's called the Lamb's book of life. You see that? But there shall be by no means enter in it, talking about heaven, anything that deviles or causes an abomination or a lie, but only those who are written in the Lamb's book of life. Right? So the Christian who perseveres, who overcomes, chapter 2, verse 10, remember on Wednesday we talked about the church at Smyrna, right? To the one who overcomes, I will give a crown of life. Right? So you make it to the end, you have your name written in the Lamb's book of life, chapter 3 and verse 5 of Revelation. Right? So without a doubt, only those who've been redeemed, and then chapter 7, those who have been washed in the blood of the Lamb, right, their robes have been washed in the blood of the Lamb. Those are the ones that have hope. Right? They're in the book of life, and those who persevere have victory until the end. Right? So what have we learned about the day of judgment here in our lesson? Judgment is absolutely necessary. Right? Our God is a righteous and just God, and since that's his very salient feature. Right? That's his very nature. Right? Those are the characteristics of our God. There has to be a day of judgment to reward and to punish, right? And then we also learn there's only going to be one judgment day, right? Not multiple judgments or resurrections and what have you. Right? The earth, when Jesus returns, 2 Peter 3 and verse 10, all of the physicals can be burned up. Right? It's so important, even what we just read four times in that chapter, gone. Right? And that's kicking off the day of judgment. Right? Final day of judgment is going to commence. Christ is going to judge all. Right? Remember, his mighty angels are coming. Those who do not know God or obey his gospel, that's the day of judgment. It's absolutely coming. And then the standard of that judgment is going to be the words of Jesus. Right? And the only hope that we have to pass this judgment is if our names are written in the Lamb's book of life. And we learned that we get our names added in the Lamb's book of life if we're washed in the blood of the Lamb. Right? We've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, Revelation 7 and verse 14. Right? And then we walk in the light. 1 John 1, 7. We have constant access to the blood of Christ. Right? That's gonna keep us until the day of judgment. And we'd have that victory through Jesus, Revelation 2 and verse 10. Right? So we can and we will be victorious through Jesus. And, you know, this is such a serious event. I just want to read a couple more verses and then the lesson is yours. Hebrews chapter 10. Right? This is such a serious event that all of us, we're all going to be a part of it. You can't do anything to escape this day. It's going to happen. Absolutely. Right? So the calling for us is to be ready for that day that is absolutely coming. Hebrews 10, beginning in verse 26, for if we sin willfully after we have received the knowledge of the truth, there no longer remains a sacrifice for sins, but a certain fearful expectation of judgment and fiery indignation, which will devour the adversaries. Anyone who has rejected the law of Moses dies without mercy on the testimony of two or three witnesses. Of how much worse punishment do you suppose will he be thought worthy who has trampled the Son of God underfoot, counted the blood of the covenant by which he was sanctified a common thing, and insulted the Spirit of grace? For we know him who said, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. And again, the Lord will judge his people. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. You know, the Bible is a book of warning. It's a book of hope. You know, and he goes on here in the same chapter, you know, warning, don't cast away your confidence concerning that day in verse 35. Right? Maintaining a confident expectation for that day, 2 Timothy chapter 3 or chapter 4 and verse 8, right? Finally, there's laid up for me a crown of righteousness, for the righteous judge will give to me on that day, and not only to me, but also all who have loved his appearing. Right? And so with passages like that, you know, reflecting the reality and the circumstances of the coming judgment, you know, it ought to cause us all to be greatly humbled. Right? We should be greatly humbled by that, and have great appreciation for the love of God that's given us so many opportunities to prepare for that day. Right? So every moment you have right now is a moment that God is giving you in preparation for that day. Listen, heaven is real, hell is real, judgment is coming. Right? And that's something we need to be thankful that God told us about that, and thankful for every moment that he's given us to prepare for that day. So we'll end with this. You know, is there something we can do to help you prepare for that day? Right, that day that is absolutely coming. You know, what is it that you need to do? You know, the devil doesn't want you to prepare. And if you do need to prepare, what he likes to do is when you have opportunities, just like when we sing the song of invitation, he wants you to sit there and think you don't need to do anything. Don't worry about it. Either you're not good enough or you are good enough. Right? But inside you know that you're not prepared. Right? Don't listen to him. You know, and of course, you can respond at any time. It doesn't have to be after service, right? We can respond to the gospel or be reconciled to God. We can do it at any time. So don't just think it's the end of a service. So when we sing the song of invitation, I want you to think, are you ready? Are you ready? That's our question. We'd love to help you in any way. Just let us know as we stand, as we sing.